In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to
Yes, indeed,
the lobby.
Alan Adams is in the house for Pass the Popcorn. How are you doing today, Alan?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great because the Ottawa Redblacks are going to the Grey Cup. And Sherrod Baltimore, former UMaine athlete, had a fantastic pick in the end zone against Jeremiah Mazzoli and stalled a drive. And yeah, they're going to go see the Stamps out in Edmonton on Sunday.
Yeah, man, that and that Hamilton team's no joke. Like, you know, that's one of the best offenses in the CFL. So, you know, and Mazzoli has made the leap to being one of the better QBs. So for Sherrod to get his hands on one of those, like, that's some good play right there.
Yeah, that was great. So what do you think? Can the Red Blacks win it?
It'd
be tough.
Yeah. I mean, but you know what? Like, it's, you know, you hesitate to label anyone. You know, I got to say, Bo Levi Mitchell hasn't necessarily shown himself to be his best in the big games. So, you know, and this is this Red Blacks team, it's better than the one that won the Grey Cup a couple of years back. So, you know, who knows how it's going to play out.
Did they ever get the dome on the Edmonton Stadium? They were talking about it. But
I don't,
as far as I know, I believe it's still open air in Edmonton, Alberta on November 25th. This is big boy football.
Yeah. Oh, and it's lovely when you get the ones where it's like, where it's full on like snowing and you're just like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, no, those guys are very cold.
Well, it's not cold usually in the movie theaters, and you got out to see a couple of movies this week. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's start with the sequel of the bunch. I went to see it's Fantastic Beasts 2. Like, it's the official title is Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald. And look, I'm as big a Harry Potter fan as anybody. That's not true, but I'm a reasonably big Harry Potter fan. Like, I love the books. I really enjoyed the original movie series. That being said, while I understand the desire to sort of keep living and revisiting this world that's been created, the reality is it's just a bit much. Like I was saying to you off air, the returns are diminishing at a fairly astonishing rate at this point. This is only the second movie out of a planned five, so you know, you just have to think. The end is coming fast, and you know, the box office wasn't as robust as I think they were expecting, so we'll see how it all plays out going forward. It's the continuing story of Newt Scamander, played by Eddie Redmayne, Academy Award winner Eddie Redmayne, just by the way. He's a magical zoologist, and he is the keeper and cataloger of the titular Fantastic Beasts. But also in the title is Grindelwald, the evil wizard played by Johnny Depp, who is basically trying to help wizards take over the world, because that's what bad wizards do in this whole thing. It's like, it's all about taking over the world, and he is basically assembling his followers in an effort to do so. Standing against him is Albus Dumbledore, the headmaster of Hogwarts from the Harry Potter movies. But we have young Dumbledore, played by Jude Law, in this one. And so they're sort of at odds. And in the middle is Newt Scamander and his friends, both magical and non, from New York City, who come to visit him because they're on a hunt for another character by the name of Credence, who's also very powerfully magic. If it sounds like I'm being vague and a little confused as far as the plot is concerned, that's because the plot is vague and kind of confusing. Here's the thing. I understand wanting to, you know, do some fan service with a movie like this. Like, people are so devoted to that sort of Harry Potter universe. So there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of sort of Easter eggs and cameos like that are clearly directed at the really hardcore fans. And that's great. I'm a big fan of that sort of thing, but you can't do it at the expense of telling a story.
taking the accessibility away from everybody else.
And it's just, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of things happen for no reasons, or, you know, there are a lot of muddy motivations. You know, characters are in and out. Subplots just sort of appear and disappear seemingly at random. I mean, the movie's, I don't know, 135 minutes long.
Ooh.
And it feels like it's overstuffed. And it feels like, you know, when you have that much time, you should be able to come up with something that resembles a coherent narrative.
Right.
But it bounces around too much. And it very much suffers from the notion of being sort of in the middle. Like, so the movie doesn't really begin. It doesn't really end. It just is. And for fans, I'm sure it's going to be great. They're going to really enjoy it. I have to say, I feel like my personal patience might be wearing out a little bit. I adore J.K. Rowling. I think she's a far better novelist than she is a screenwriter.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that. You know, it's like with a novel, you've got other eyes on it to sort of help screen. And, you know, when you convert from a novel to a screenplay, if you have an experienced screenwriter, they know how to sort of focus, you know, sort of.
Cider House Rules being a prime example. You couldn't make a movie out of that book without taking four of the plot lines out.
And that's the thing. And it's like, it's just all about just finding small, subtle ways to tell the sort of offshoot stories that are so much easier to lay out in a novel. And, you know, and at least in this movie, she just doesn't do that. And so for fans, Fantastic Beasts 2, you'll have a fun time. But it's just prepare yourselves for the inevitable decline.
Well, what else did you see?
I went to see a movie called Widows, directed by Steve McQueen, from a screenplay that he co-wrote with the best-selling novelist Gillian Flynn, best known for Gone Girl. It's kind of amazing, in a way. It's remarkable that this movie exists because, you know, Steve McQueen won an Oscar for directing 12 Years a Slave. You know, he is very much a prestige filmmaker. But with this movie, it's a heist film. Like, it's a heist movie. That's what it is. It's also a story of feminist empowerment and condemnation of the political machine here in America. Chicago specifically, but at its heart, it's a heist movie. What he's doing making a heist movie, I don't know, but thank God he did, because it's phenomenal. It's got a dynamite cast. Viola Davis leads it, but it's got, like, Liam Neeson's in it, Michelle Rodriguez, Colin Farrell, Robert Duvall's in this movie.
Wow.
It's just on and on, just this wonderful collection of talent. And everybody just, like, really going for it in ways that are just great to see. I'm not going to go into too much detail plot-wise, just because I'm in fear of spoilers. There are some really solid shifts and twists here that I don't want to give away. But the basic gist is Viola Davis plays a woman, Veronica Rawlings. She lives in Chicago with her husband, Harry, played by Liam Neeson. They have a very happy life. There's some tragedy in their past, but they've moved forward and their relationship is rocky, but still a loving one. But it all gets flipped when she discovers what her husband does for a living. When he dies in the course of trying to execute a heist against one of the local sort of, you know, upper echelon gangsters. Turns out, in the course of that heist going wrong, the money, $2 million, was lost.
Oh.
And the debt lands on Veronica's head and the heads of the other widows of the men who were in this crew. Meanwhile, we're also dealing with the alderman's race for the 18th parish between a guy by the name of Jack, I want to say Mulligan, played by Colin Farrell, and the aforementioned gangster named Jamal, who is trying to go straight because, you know, so he's running against this guy, Mulligan, whose family has run this district for generations. Like, his grandfather was the alderman, his dad, Tom, played by Robert Duvall.
Chicago.
Yeah. Is basically handing down the seat to him. But the race is getting closer than anybody's comfortable with. Jamal's trying to go straight. His brother, Jatem, played marvelously by Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out and a number of other movies. So he's trying to get his money back while also trying to run this race in terms of and this election. And so you have all these disparate threads, like just kind of, you know, and the other widows, one, the one played by Michelle Rodriguez, like she lost her retail store because her husband was a gambling addict. And, you know, he's dead, but she still owes.
Right.
The other widow is dealing with the aftermath of an abusive relationship. Her husband, played by John Bernthal, who's awesome and only in the movie for about 30 seconds. But yeah, it's just got all these wonderful plot threads. And so Veronica brings the widows together in an effort to pull off a heist because her husband left behind a notebook. Yeah. And this notebook has all the details of not only all of his past heists, but planned heists as well. And so they've got one big score, $5 million. They're gonna do this themselves so they could pay off the debt, split the remainder, go their separate ways. But as tends to happen in movies like this, it's a little more complicated. That's all I'm gonna say because it really there's a lot of stuff that goes on that's really pretty remarkable.
That sounds very good.
It's so strong just across the board. Like the idea that you've got this movie that's just on its own would be a killer heist movie, and then you add these elements of like the stuff dealing with the Chicago political machine is fascinating, and he finds these wonderful moments of just sort of cinematic shorthand to kind of convey reams of information in just brief moments. It's the polar opposite of the other movie because it's like this sort of this minimalism almost, where it's just like, you know, doing a lot with a little as opposed to a little with a lot.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great, man.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Thank you so much for those insights to those two films. And what do you got coming up next, you know?
As far as what I'm going to go see? Oh, yeah, it's the Thanksgiving weekend, so there's a bunch of stuff that's going to land. The big one I think I'm most excited about, probably the second Creed movie.
Yeah,
I'm pretty jazzed about that. Like, I mean, I love me some Michael B. Jordan, and you know, and I think Rocky IV is an underrated classic, and so revisiting that whole situation, I'm pretty excited about.
All righty, well, that's great, and I bet you can read about some of these a little later on in the week in the Main Edge.
You will.
So that's Alan Adams with Pass the Popcorn.